NASA 557, contact tower 128.15.
Caution, caution. Manual, fuel, manual, fuel.
I'm John Golia.
I'm Greg Fife.
And I'm Todd Curtis.
And we are the Flight Safety Detectives.
Between us, we have over a century of aviation accident investigation and safety experience to draw on as we discuss issues that affect all of us.
So we are qualified to share our perspectives on accidents and incidents and what can be learned from them for the future.
We're proud to say that we have two sponsors that really relate to the topic of aviation safety: the Professional Aviation Maintenance Association, or PAMA, and Avemco Insurance. Later on in the show, we'll tell you how you can get a 5% discount on your insurance just for listening to the show.
We don't just dissect the official reports. In every episode, we identify safety issues and take the mystery out of accident investigations.
So maybe pilots and their planes can have safer flights ahead.
Well, hello, Todd.
Hello again, John.
That's you and I again. Greg and Miles are off doing their full-time jobs. And it's left to you and I to digest a very interesting one. You know, you sent this one to me, and the first thing I thought of when I read it was, could this be a damn TV program where they talk about the jackass things that people do? Because this certainly could qualify for that.
Well, there are jackass things you can do with aviation, and there are jackass things you can do with aviation that can get you in trouble with the federal government and possibly send you to prison. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. What we have here is not an accident, not an incident. It was not in the NTSB or FAA files. And in my usual places to find things, I found out about this because it was a news item. There's a gentleman, I won't mention his name because you can look him up, who has made quite the business of putting out videos about cars and, you know, fun things and all that sort of thing. Very good at doing this. He has dozens of these out there. One of the videos he decided to do was blowing up, or at least appearing to shoot things at a Lamborghini going fast over a dry lake bed from a helicopter. Now, I'm not going to go into great detail about this, except to say that the federal government, when they did find out about this, didn't have as much of an appreciation for what he was doing as he did. He was actually charged. And let me get the exact charging here. The gentleman of Studio City, California, is charged with one count of causing the placement of an explosive or incendiary device on an aircraft. Okay. For those of you out there who have ever heard of something called 9/11 or the TSA, putting an explosive or an incendiary on an aircraft is against federal law. And this is a message in general when it comes to aviation. No matter what the local laws are, where you happen to be walking around or driving a Lamborghini, the federal government owns the sky. If you fly anything and you do something in the sky that is not in keeping with the federal government's idea of proper behavior, you can be charged by the Department of Justice or some other part of the federal government and have to face the consequences. Now, for those of you who are watching the video version of this, we're showing you a clip from a news show that talked about this. And as you can see, there's a helicopter, which I believe is a Robinson R-44, but I'm not sure because I couldn't quite see the tail number, that seems to be engaged in very low altitude flying, well under 100 feet, well under 50 feet in some cases, it seems, at dusk, and there are fireworks of some kind being fired at a speeding car on the ground. There's also a second vehicle on the ground taking pictures of the other vehicle in the helicopter. And there are cameras in the helicopter. In other words, this is a very well orchestrated event with respect to shooting the pictures. Not very well orchestrated with respect to planning and execution. For one, they're firing explosives and, excuse me, incendiaries from a helicopter. That's against federal law. Two, the Department of Justice did note this. This person didn't have any filming permits. Okay? That's a minor issue compared to what he is being thrown into court for. And again, looks lovely on video. If this were a television production with professional pilots, with a safety plan in place, with proper permits, both locally and federally, this would not be a problem. This is a problem because he allegedly didn't do any of this. And he did not allegedly. He actually did put videos of this on YouTube, allowing everyone, including law enforcement agencies, to see it.
You know, it's interesting that somewhere in the report I read that he was trying to replicate an event that occurred in a video game. So that somebody animated it in a video game, and he's out trying to fly it for real. And we all know that, you know, in video games, you can do anything you want, make airplanes fly upside down, whatever. And there's no consequences. In this case, there is consequences. Flying down low, you know, it's so he's from California, so he's out in the desert. I don't know if anybody has ever seen what happens in a desert because of the winds and tumbleweed. And when a fire starts out there, it can travel pretty far, pretty fast. I've been there. I've seen that happen. And it's not, it's kind of scary, actually. So depending on conditions, and that's part of the safety plan that you mentioned, Todd, about making sure that, you know, you have things under control. There's equipment in case there is fires to go put them out before they get out of control. So there's a lot of moving parts to making film, action films, whether it's in the desert or within the city, it doesn't matter. There's a lot of coordination that has to go on, and it's obvious that none of that existed in this event. It was somebody trying to get some thrills on the cheap, I would say, because all of those other things that you have to do, you know, a bona fide movie studio would do, costs a lot of money to accomplish.
Well, the federal government will see fit that at least this gentleman will get some other exciting new experiences in the next few months as this case goes to court. But this is not just about the person who's in this DOJ statement about being charged with violating a law of some kind. There are other people involved here. There's a minimum of, you know, three or four other people involved, the two people who are driving the vehicles on the ground, but more importantly, whoever is flying that helicopter. Now, I'm assuming that this person is properly certificated. And if this person has any sort of professional level to his or her certifications, that could put it in jeopardy. This is clearly something that, at the very least, you'd have to have some sort of commercial certificate in order to fly this, and also a certification to fly a helicopter. This helicopter is being flown in my opinion, a hazardous manner. Relatively high speed, you're chasing a Lamborghini very close to the ground. So there's a safety issue here. And if this is something that's being conducted without the proper permits for filming and such, if this pilot were involved in television and movie production professionally, and you have this coming up in the federal courts, I can only imagine what effect that'll have on his or her career.
Yes. You know, many people fail to take proper consideration to the phrase that's in commercial pilot qualifications that of your character. And this clearly indicates that the pilot on this airplane, and maybe there was another one as well, didn't exercise the kind of judgment that you would want in a commercial licensed pilot. And that would kill any jobs prospects for that individual. So, you know, at this point in time, where there are a lot of great jobs out there, to have that kind of blemish on your record is just a career ender.
Now, another thing on the safety side of things I wanted to point out about this video, it appears to me, given the lighting and the situation, this wasn't daytime, it wasn't at night, it seemed to be at or near dusk. And in general, probably the most difficult time of the day to see is when the light is fading. You think, oh, there's still some light out here, I can see. No, there's a adjustment that the human body makes, and whether it's driving or flying, dusk is the time of day where you have to pay especially good attention to what's going on, because you can easily be fooled by what you see outside. And again, you're talking about low-level flight over a lake bed, which lake bed is nice and flat, but you also have in the background, in most lake beds in California, I used to be based at Edwards back when I was in the Air Force, so I've seen a few lake beds there. There's also mountains in the distance in virtually every case. So, are you flying along low level, high stress, high workload? You're looking up for the horizon. You think the horizon is at one angle. It's actually at a slightly different angle because you're using basically looking out the aircraft as opposed to flying strictly by instruments, especially when you're, you know, going back and forth close to the ground. So I'd like to see if there's any sort of analysis, either during the court case or elsewhere, as to what level of risk this stunt put, you know, toward the pilots and the people in the cars. Now that we're talking about risk, here's a time where we can talk about one of our favorite subjects, insurance. As many of you know, Avemco Insurance is a sponsor of our show. And even if you are not Avemco Insurance, if you are an insurer and you have somebody who's insuring their car or their aircraft or helicopter with you, and they come to you with this idea, hey, will my insurance cover me if I do this thing over here? Most reasonable insurance companies, and I'm speculating here, even Avemco would say, you know what? That's crazy. If you do that and something happens, we're not going to touch it. You're not going to get a penny out of us. Again, this is my opinion. I don't know if this is what Avemco would say. But this is a good feedback mechanism. You don't fly alone. You fly in concert with a lot of partners. Some of them are official partners, like your insurance company. Some are overseeing the entire system, like the FAA. And some of them might be financing whatever production you're doing. Bring this idea to all of them. And if they all say, yes, this is okay, yes, this is legal, yes, we'll cover you if things go wrong, go ahead and do it. I have nothing against people having fun with aircraft or trying to recreate video game scenes and whatnot. In fact, you know, if you can pull it off and do it legal and all that, more power to you. This is not the way to do it.
Yes. And you left out a couple of important ones. You know, the DOJ is involved with this because they're going to enforce what the FAA and the Department of Transportation has to say. But what about Homeland Security and alcohol, tobacco, and firearms? All right. So firearms portion of ATF, they actually control what goes on the airplane. They have a role to say. Buying fireworks in Nevada and taking them over state lines, that's a federal offense. Right? That's a no-no. Also, Homeland Security, as you mentioned, about putting incendiary devices of any kind on an airplane without the proper permitting storage. And if you have hours to spare, go online and read the rules that TSA has, or Homeland Security has, for bringing those kinds of devices on an airplane or in an airplane, shipping them. The restrictions are rather severe on all of it.
And let me bring up a point here. You mentioned Nevada and bringing fireworks over. In fact, the DOJ alleges that this person went across state lines to Nevada, where apparently rules are a little bit looser on a lot of things, including fireworks, bought the fireworks back into California. Now, whatever the rules are in a particular state, once you cross state lines, very often you're going to be triggering federal sorts of situations. That is, doing something that is illegal on the federal level, but legal on the state level. If you stay in the state where you do it, that's okay. Cross the state lines, you're going to be in trouble.
You know how many people, and I see it all the time on appeals, the NTSB appeals, how many people come out of Colorado with a little bit of marijuana and get to the airport because of the Amtrak scare and the rest of it? We have very sophisticated devices on our airports today that can tell what you've got in your bags, not only carry on. Almost all the bags today go through a very fancy and expensive x-ray machine downstairs because they don't want to have to be opening all those bags. So they put the money in the technology and they got all these scanners that can identify all sorts of things in your luggage. And if it's something that's on the illegal list, it flags it and they're going to pull your bag out. And I've seen, you know, time and time again, people get in charge with that, with something illegal, doing something illegal involving transportation on an airplane. So you got to be very, very careful. I mean, I go through my bags all the time. In fact, I just did it this past week, going through, making sure that I haven't collected anything that I shouldn't be. As I get around, people give me things all the time. Sometimes I put them in Sometimes I'll have to check my carry-on bag because I have some things on it that you can't carry on the airplane, but you can check. Well, I got to make sure that I've got to that bag and taken them out because I could grab it. I travel so much. I travel every week. And if I pick up that bag and it's got something in I shouldn't be carrying on the airplane and show up at the gate, which I normally have just carry-on, that's going to get me some trouble.
Now, one more thing I'd like to point out about this particular event. Some of you out there are saying, okay, he had a helicopter, allegedly, flying and shooting off incendiaries. I'll just use a drone. There's no people on board. Will the government get upset? The answer is yes. Doesn't matter what kind of aircraft you're flying, and drones or unmanned aerial systems or aircraft systems are considered aircraft by the FAA. They're under stringent rules, just like aircraft are. And if you are doing some filming from the air of cars racing along a desert floor, you're engaged in something that is on the side of the commercial side of drone use. And there's very specific rules. You have to have a license to do that. And again, same thing applies. If you've gone to the trouble of getting a commercial drone license to operate that drone in a commercial manner, and for fun, you're doing something like this. And someone else is being charged for the major crime, but they will rope in everyone else involved in this, and it'll come out that you've been involved. You could put your career as a commercial drone pilot at risk. So again, if you're flying, keep one thing in mind. The federal government in the United States owns the sky, and whatever rules they have will supersede any local or state rules when it comes to, what behavior you're doing when you're flying.
Yes. Okay. More on this to follow, because we will keep track of this to see what transpires. I'll be watching the appeals process at the NTSB to see if this if there was a certificate action against the pilots. We can't get it beforehand until they file an appeal. We couldn't. That's not FOIA-able. The action taken against pilots at this point. It's after the action is taken and they appeal any action that was taken that it becomes in view of the public. So we'll have to watch that one closely to see just what happens with this pilot, because I can't envision him not being charged. But we'll see.
Well, this brings up my second to last word, directly related to what was happening in this case. There is someone who was very creative and wanted to share his creativity with people online. I'm all for that. I've been putting stuff online for almost 30 years now, believe it or not. And one of the things in the back of my mind is, all right, am I going to get in trouble for this? Now, most of the time I was worried more about intellectual property violations, but keeping that in mind, if you put something online that's fun, that's interesting, that's different, that's on the edge, or whatever the case you want to be, whatever you want to call it, keep in mind that once it's online, it's out of your control. Even if you take it down an hour later, that could be long enough for whomever or whatever to scrape that information and put it out there. And trust me, stuff you put online 10, 15 years ago that you might have grown beyond or say, well, I have a responsible job now. I want to hide that. I want to take it off my site. Too late. So again, think twice before you put something online and call your insurance agent before you do anything crazy.
Okay, and my last word hasn't changed at all, because we're still having big problems with these events, and I'm going to say again, if you're going to go flying, you need to do a good job of pre-planning. Before you leave the hotel or your house, do a session of pre-planning. When you get to the airport, do it again separately. If they don't agree, make sure you double-check everything. Make sure you check the weather. Here, there, and everywhere in between. Because we've had a number of problems with people flying from point A to B and get stuck in weather storms, all sorts of things in the middle. So please pay attention to the weather. When you go out to your airplane, a good, thorough pre-flight, including touching your airplane. I still see people that don't touch their airplane. It's like it's a, you know, no, I can't touch the wing. I can't touch the fuselage anywhere. Touch it. It brings your awareness right down to where the area that you're touching. You get in the airplane, good pre-flight inside the airplane. And when you take off, put that head on a swivel. Because we just did another accident where the airplane taken off collided with a much smaller airplane, killed two people. I mean, it's really, it happens all over the world. You've got to be aware of your what's around you. Your, you know, situational awareness is very, very, very important. And we see many, many accidents where pilots lose their situational awareness. You know, especially if you have somebody else in the airplane and you're chatting up one another, right? Diversions. You'll be able to be the pilot, right? It's very nice to be sociable on the flight, and I have myself, but you really need to stay focused on what's going on around you. So you can take short breaks, 15, 30 seconds, but you need to keep your head out the window. You need to be paying attention to your direction, all the other things that you need to do to keep a safe flight. But please, please fly safely.
Thank you for checking out our show. We really value our listeners and subscribers. Our podcast gets ranked by you and how much you like it. So please give us 5 stars in your podcast platform.
We want to keep in contact with you. We are on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and of course, YouTube.
You can email the show at flightsafetydetectives@gmail.com. By the way, if you're on YouTube, we're really working on growing the channel, and it helps if you all send in comments. Please do that, and we read all the comments.
And be sure to subscribe. Remember, if you're in the market for aviation insurance, you can save 5% with Avemco just by mentioning our show. Visit them at www.avemco.com. That's it for this episode of the Flight Safety Detective. Until the next episode, fly safe.